Please be seated. So today's scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, and it'll be on the slide as well. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand on your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, and with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. So today we have Reverend Margaret, who is a Carey-trained qualified pastor. She started her ministry journey 30 years ago with Wesley Methodist Church in Singapore, and from 2006 with Long Bay Baptist Church, and 2019 Windsor Park Baptist Church. Margaret is also a member of the Assembly Council of the Baptist Union. Margaret has recently moved from the North Shore to East Auckland. She's passionate about sharing God's word with the community, and her mission is to transform lives by spreading the saving power of the gospel. So today she'll be speaking on finding Jesus in crazy times. So we welcome you.
Thank you. Wonderful. So let's open in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, today is the first Sunday of Advent. We want to remember Jesus' love and his redemptive work for us. We thank you for New Zealand, a peaceful country where we can gather to worship you and celebrate as church families. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in and with us in good time and bad times. As life is slowly returning to normal, we will still encounter situations beyond our human understanding and control. We pray, Lord, that you speak to us this morning. Please help us understand your ways and your work in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's title message is Finding Jesus in Crazy Time. According to the dictionary and thesaurus, crazy time has several meanings. It refers to drastic times that call for extreme measures. People losing control of situation, chaos, unpredictability, destructive behavior, intense, irrational event, running out of logic or lack of understanding to resolve matters, incomprehensive things. Here are some events and struggle around this craziness that I'm going to talk about this morning. First, let's take a look at the slide. I just kind of piece all the icon together because a picture tells a thousand words. Pandemic, climate change, LGBTQ, family violence, poor mental health, relationship issue, aging, illnesses, political struggle, war, death, financial crisis, child poverty, racism. The list goes on. It seems that it's not going to stop anytime near. How can we find Jesus in these crazy times? So today, I chose a passage from Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18, the armor of God. So it is time to pull out your power as a Christian. This passage has been preached thousands of times. However, what matters most is who you are, what do you do, and how we live out this passage. Now I'm going to put you guys on the test. Let me see a show of hands. How many of us have a security system installed at home? Okay, some don't, eh? Okay, now I'm going to raise the level higher. How many of you install camera inside and outside your house or both? Okay, good, good. Oh. Yeah, Pastor Derek, kiasu. Oh, and a handphone. Okay, now I'm going to raise the standard even higher. How many of you have your security system connected to the police department or security agency? Okay, I'm glad you didn't. It just made me feel so unsafe in New Zealand. So, wonderful, wonderful. You guys are taking every step to protect your home. So, why do you do that? I know, because you're protecting whatever you want to protect, and they are precious to you and your family. So now I pose this question to you. How can we install a security system to protect humanity against the spiritual forces of evil? Think about that. You know, you're only safe at home, but you're not safe out there. We've got to do something, right? Okay. Good, we come to an agreement. My sermon today is to call for people to be vigilant, to be strong, and to be armed. To be armed, not like superhero or Black Panther, not that way. Okay, we've got to be armed in Christ's standard. So, the book of Ephesians records letter of instructions, warning, and encouragement from the Apostle Paul. He wrote about the truth of God's work in Christ, the unity of church among the diverse people, and the proper conduct in church, home, and world. So as our brother has read the passage, I'll just go straight into explaining some of the intensity and the things that call Christian to be Christian. Verse 10. Verse 10, call Christian, in fact, not just Christian. If you are non-believer today, it also calls you, all of us, to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. The verse also affirms that strength comes only from the divine God, and this strength is God's power. We humans do not possess this power without God. We must work together with the Holy Spirit to exercise such power. In Philippians 4, Apostle says, I do all things through Him, the Lord, who strengthened me. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, I am weak, then I am strong, for His power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul proclaimed very strongly many times, I'm a big fan of Apostle Paul, so many times he mentioned in the Bible that all power is from the Lord. We must obey the Lord's way so that the Lord's power can come through us. Verse 11 is an instruction for you, for all of us, to put on the armor of God so that we can stand against devil's scheme. So the word scheme means the devil has a large scale and dark, and they have a very systematic plan to harm us without us knowing. The devil is here to burn, destroy humanity. But our loving God has prepared us with this divine power to protect us and the entire human life. Just like why you install a home security system. You do not know when the burglar will come, do you? But you are prepared. And if they come, your alarm will set off. So what is God's power? God's power enables us to control and overcome all things. All things that include temporal items on earth and things that are spiritual. But unfortunately, the devil has corrupted the world into secularizing temptation and earthly structure. Our structure has been hit. I repeat, our earthly structure has been hit. And I can support that. Theologian Karl Barth described the existence of demonic activities globally as involving social, institutional, malfunction. You can run through your brain now. How many institutional malfunction are there? How many social issues are there out there? And this is how the demonic has slowly crept into our life without us realizing it. In Ephesians, Paul has also warned us that sin's transmission comes through individuals, corporations, organizations, authorities, and even from the cosmic. Therefore, we have scriptural reason to put on the full armor of God so that we are equipped to stand our ground against evil forces. Verse 13 is interesting. In fact, I find that verse 13 is so simple, but it is the key consideration of today's message. After you have done everything to stand. What does it mean to done everything to stand? Which means there is something we ought to do before God's power can work in and through us. And that's important because it talks about us. When I look at all of you beautiful faces and smiley and nice and warm, I think most of us here, we are from the first, second, or even third generation of immigrants. And everyone here has a unique story of why you are in New Zealand today. This is a great place to live, don't get me wrong. According to the Global Peace Index, New Zealand ranked the second safest place among the whole world. And Singapore actually is positioned at 11. I was shocked. Everybody thought that Singapore is so safe. But no, New Zealand is second. You win. So if New Zealand ranked the second safest place in 2021, and I tell you the crime rate, the crime index 43, the safest index 57. So 43, 57, good, yeah? However, in 2022, the inbound data that I've got from the New Zealand Crime and Safety Survey shows an increasing of cases of crime involving sexual assault, minor violence, burglary, homicide, public rampage. The crime index indicated in New Zealand is going to 50-50, crime and safety. So imagine, that's not a good sign. You walk out of the house, you are 50-50 safe. I cannot resonate with that. I just like, nah. So if New Zealand is the second safest country and is on an increasing crime index, what about other parts of the world? Singapore, 11. I dare not even go back to Singapore. But no worries, I have the armor of God. Yeah. So I know some of you don't like to watch news because people are tired. And just tired of hearing COVID news, disaster news, you know, the flood here and the burning forest somewhere. They just want to relax. And the best way to relax is to just tune out from the rest of the world. But that's not reality. The reality is that you don't live in your world because the God created the whole earth, the whole world for us. It all belongs to us. None of any place in the world is not yours. It's yours. Okay? So, I encourage those who doesn't like news to keep yourself up to date. Hear and watch news from reliable sources. Not from those dodgy websites, you know, Facebook. Some of them are not true, as you know. You are smarter to know that they are not true. That you will realize all this news from the reliable sources, they're telling us warning that this passage today are relevant. And I also suggest that after hearing every piece of information, pray for God's protection over His creation, His people, the nature, and the world. Don't just, oh, okay, I know something like this happened somewhere, but, you know, you don't do anything. Prayer makes a difference. So all this evil doing make Jesus weep. Jesus will cry if he's here to see all this corrupted world and all these things happening to us. In Luke 19, Jesus wept as he entered Jerusalem. Why? Jesus wept because the people missed the point of the Messiah. Jesus wept for the corrupted Jerusalem. Similarly, today, we are experiencing brokenness everywhere. Sin has corrupted this world. We all know it. It's only through Christ Jesus that the world can put back together and make whole again. So what are some of the things that make you weep or feel sorry? Think about it. But I wept for Susan. Susan is an elderly widow. She's 82. She's so friendly and chatty in the church. I was impressed with her joyfulness and her faithfulness with Christ. She also led a home group during the week. But Susan will soon be kicked out of her current house because the government is relocating her and her son, 32, who has Down syndrome, to a smaller apartment. The government has reduced the funding budget. The smaller apartment will be further from her current church. As a result, she may have to give up the home group and the attendance on Sunday service. At the age of 82, with her special needs son, you can imagine her mental struggle, feeling anxious and worried. She requested for me to pray for her situation, so I did. So there are many Susan around us, the older group of people who need help. Do we want to turn to a silent, tuned off? No. We got to love them. I wept for Rodney, and Rodney is a non-believer. He lost his job for almost 3 years. He has recently then just, settled for a part-time job with a minimum wage. And just to cover his rent and food. But topping to his situation, his company has been delaying his salary for 5 weeks due to cash flow problem. Soon, I can imagine he's going to be out of job soon. I wept for Stephen and Yvonne. They lost their daughter, who took her own life over a broken relationship with boyfriend. I wept for the people who are involved in sexual abuse, family violence, troubled teens, struggling with study, confused sexuality, and complicated relationship. When you really think about life, life is hard. Somewhere, somehow, people struggle with something. But can life be godly and peaceful? The good news is, yes, it is possible, only through Jesus Christ. So what do we do? This passage calls for the people to be vigilant, strong, and be armed. We must follow Apostle Paul's disciplinary advice. First, Colossians 3, clothe ourselves with Christ, with compassion, kindness, humanity, gentleness, and patience. And in Romans 13, all God's people make no provision for the desire of flesh. Finally, in Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God. These are the few pieces of armor presented to all of us. You have the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted with readiness, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, and pray in the Spirit for all occasion. So the first item, I'm just going to go through every item very briefly. The first item, the belt of truth, has actually mentioned in the Old Testament, Isaiah 11. Righteous will be his belt. His belt. This is Lord's belt. Jesus is the Lord, the Messiah, where Isaiah prophesies that Lord, the coming Messiah, has a belt. And that is the similar belt when we pick up from the New Testament. It is also the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This belt involves truthful listening and truthful telling. It could work both ways. You listen something, 1, 2, 3, you tell 1, 2, 3. not 4, 5, 6. See, truthful belt, the belt of truth. And the biblical truth will always set you free, free from anything, anything. Honesty is always also a way to help others to receive and land on the truth. So the next armor is the breastplate of righteousness. Give you an idea how Christians should stand by God's standard. You hold the plate in front of your body, protecting the core of your body. It is a language of justice, honoring, respect, obedient to the word and the faithfulness to God. It is similar to your fifth commandment to be right in Christ. Your feet fitted with readiness, meaning shoes for your feet. In the ancient time, the streets are narrow, messy, and the ground were rocky. Not many people, shoes is a luxury item. But shoe is the only thing that protect and support your feet so that you can stand firm in faith. Even today, our footwear is essential. Look at some of the branded footwear, you know, they have special features and stuff. So that goes to say, the shoe is so important. But if you were to translate it into the biblical understanding of this armor, this footwear must be reliable, comfortable, and make your posture stable while you're standing, walking, running, and especially during hiking. You know, if you lose your footing during your hike, you may fall, you may kill yourself or injured or something, right? So Christians are called to be fitted with readiness, meaning to be equipped with the knowledge of God's word. Therefore, the Bible is essential to strengthen your journey as a faithful disciple of Christ. The fourth armor, the shield of faith. As we battle, you know, some of you may take that as a sports, but this battle is spiritual battle. This shield has dual function. It protects and extinguishes all flaming arrow of the evil one. Flaming arrow is an imaginary of a burning arrow thrown at you. It refers to all evil coming, all evil doing coming at you. Can be anything in your life. And the whole intention is to harm you or human life. Therefore, it must be fended off. Evil one may come in all forms. Remember that all forms can be your friend, your individual, the ruler. Ruler means the people who are supposed to look after you, or the authority who is supposed, the institution that have power, even the cosmic, like the nature, and including the spiritual forces that we all cannot see. Therefore, it is crucial to fence off evil one and prevent human sin in all circumstances. To prevent human sin, let's start from ourselves first. The helmet of salvation is to put on a helmet. When you ride a motorbike, you put on a helmet is to protect your head. So in this case, again, the helmet is a helmet of salvation that protects you from being corrupted by the devil. The head is the most significant part of your body. You use your brain that is inside your head to think, to process things. So when the devil corrupts our thoughts, he'll take away our thoughts and he'll control every function of our body. You know, there are people who lost control who took drugs because drugs is the way to release their stress. But that's a wrongful thinking. Wrongful thinking. Therefore, the loss of your head presents criminal and corrupted thinking mind that prevent you from receiving the gift of salvation. How do you then replace the bad habits with the good habits? So that is all in your head. That's why a lot of people say it is anybody. Okay, I can share with you my experience. Anybody who kill themselves is a one or few second decision. Jump down. Just like that. That's who corrupted them. The head. The head said, go. That's it. Gone. That's what happened to my friend, Stephen and Yvonne's daughter. This case is real. Happened in Singapore. The daughter walked in and she was in tears. She just had a fight with her boyfriend. Walked in. So she's not strong to analyze things. She's already not thinking properly. She walked into the HDB flat in Singapore. We all live in a flat. She walked in. Hi, mom and dad. I love you. Window. It's just, I was a counselor back in Wesley Methodist Church. Took me 2 years to walk with this couple for the loss of their daughter. Because of the corrupted mind that the devil has planted into her head, she no longer be able to take the pain of that brokenness. So I want to tell you, I look at this congregation, young people, think, if you need to talk to someone, talk to someone. If you need to call me, call me. Derek has my number. So give me a chance. Give me a chance to pull you back from the age. It's very important. Because at that moment, Yvonne's daughter did not think. She was, I think, 18. She only think about her boyfriend. Her brain was corrupted just with the boyfriend. She forgot about the parents and so many people love her versus one idiot who doesn't treasure her. But you have so many people on this side. One idiot on this side. So your head need to be right. So the helmet of salvation protects that. Okay, protects that. And also another example I can give you is obesity. People eat and eat for comfort. Not drugs, okay? I don't take drugs, I take food. Also, it's also, you know what I mean? So, okay, so it's all happened up here. So the last armor, war, powerful. The sword of spirit. The five pieces of armor that I mentioned earlier are defensive, defend, defend, defend. But the sword is the only offensive one, which means you can attack. The sword of spirit is the word of God, which we must conform. The word of God is very powerful. It is the divine armor used in the battle. You don't go to the battle with no sword and no gun. We Singaporeans are all army trained. So we have to compulsory go for army training. You know that you are given all the weapon. So this is the weapon God has blessed all of us. It's a sword. So in Hebrew, the description of this sword is so good. The sword is the word. So the word is a living and active sword. And it is sharpened at any two edges, piercing through, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intention of the heart. And theologians describe that this sword is a union of the word and the spirit of Christ working in us. How fantastic. I want that. I want Jesus, the Word, and the Spirit in me. Three in one. Not coffee. Three in one. Spirit. I want that. So just as the Word come from the God, the Word also bear the life-giving of the Spirit. So we must go for that. So another story I want to share with you is Stuart. Stuart is a Christian. He was the head of the accounting and finance department of a company. In 2020, the company was bought over by another company. So Stuart was tasked to prepare the necessary financial report. I know there's some accountant here, so you know what I'm talking about, financial report. But during this process, Stuart found some false transaction. The owner then was scheming and say, "Hey, Stuart, let's hide this transaction and make the deal go through." He even offered Stuart a token in return to do that. Guess what Stuart did? He declined and he left the company. The owner then, "Fine, you don't do it, somebody else will do it, right?" So he hired a new accountant and presented a false report to the new owner. Ultimately, the deal really went through. And the owner walked away with $9 million. Well, nobody impressed. Okay, good, good, good on you. You're not impressed with the $9 million. So about 18 months later, Stuart was called back by the external auditor and IRD. You know, my previous life, before I changed vocation to be a pastor, I'm actually a public accountant and auditor. But I'm not telling you my own story. This is a real story, happened somewhere else. So he was called back. And he was to testify the owner and the new accountant about all this dodgy transaction. And he did. They were put on trial and now waiting for final verdict. Yeah! So, well, I was cheering for Stuart. You know, so Stuart did the right thing. But do you notice that he's wearing the armor of God? Yeah, you don't have to wear the armor of God and really like warrior. No need, no need. You just be a humble servant. Did you see the first slide? The armor of God of Christ? Can I have the first slide? The second slide, sorry. That's our armor. We are the humble armor of God. Look humble, but very powerful. So at first, what happened to Stuart? How does it impact on Stuart as a person? He was disrespected, mistreated. He lost his job and his earning, of course. However, Stuart made his stand not to collaborate with the evil one. Stuart chose to be in a place of biblical peace. He was truthful and honest. He held on to the biblical truth, which is the belt. He left the company to dodge the flaming arrow, which is the shield. The boss could not corrupt his mind, which is his helmet. And he put down his enemy with the sword by testifying against all this evil doing. So you see that the power of the armor of God came through in victory. And the Spirit of the Lord is working through Stuart. Hallelujah. Really. Glory to God. So it is real in today's world. If we are not part of the evil scheme, we are good people. We are God's children, God's warrior. So what about you? Do you have any struggle in your workplace, home or school? You may want to talk to someone, talk to Derek or me, you know. Just sort things out. What is the right way to do? Because the devil actually comes through so subtly, you don't even know that you're doing the wrong thing. So sometimes it's good to journey with your brothers and sisters. So finally, verse 18 is to pray. The Lord answered some of my prayer. I thank him. The church found a smaller apartment within the same community for Susan and her son. The church also helped to cover some of the household expenses. For Rodney, Stephen, Yvonne, you know, after going through all the counseling, they are now experiencing Jesus' love and the power in the light of the gospel. So the Lord has pulled them back from the age. So in conclusion, evil forces have subtly entered our life and we have stopped noticing them. We have stopped noticing them. So we are actually the God's security system, guarding his precious creation, and that is human and every creature here. But we have to collectively be his security system. We are called to be vigilant, strong, thank you. Last one. I think I could start from page one. To be armed, that's right. To be vigilant, strong, and armed. Okay, so my final slide. Okay, my final slide is question for reflection. It's not a homework. You know, it's just for you to reflect on today's message. You can pick up a printed copy here, over here. So you can use it for your personal reflection or bring it to your Bible study group and reflect. So I'd like to read through the question for you. How have you put on the armor of God? What is your discipline? So something to think about. Two, in good time, do you still require to put on the armor of God in good time? Or only you put on when it's in bad time? So you can think about that. So three is a challenging question. When you are encouraging someone to trust in God in all circumstances, the Lord will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. This is a verse from the Bible. So especially if this person is in a challenging situation, what do you have to back yourself up when you are walking with your brothers and sisters? You need to have something to be convincing, to gain their understanding of the word of God. Yeah. Fourth is an additional reading of verse 19 to 20. How can you be the ambassador in the chain to be bold about the gospel? You know, so don't be scared of sharing. Be bold. That's what we are made of. Reflect on who you are, what can you do, and what you're called to be. And then the last question is, write down your struggle in the diagram. Do I have the diagram? Yeah, okay. Finding Jesus in crazy time. So we are human. We are not superhero. So there are things that you can understand and control on the left side. There's things that you cannot understand and control. You don't understand why certain things happen, you know. Put them down and pray. Pray about it. Then perhaps the revelation will come true in a different way. You will be able to experience the Holy Spirit. So with that, thank you very much. I would like to close in prayer. Shall we pray? Dear Jesus, we understand why you wept for Jerusalem. We are sorry we missed the mark, yet you still love us dearly. You have reminded us to be vigilant, be strong, and be armed. So help us, Lord. Give us the wisdom to enlighten our mind. Give us your word with reverence and humility. Provide us with the strength to do the right things. Warm our heart with your love so that we can love others. Prepare us in your power to face our enemy. Help us prepare our daily discipline to clothe in Christ. Put on the armor of God and pray relentlessly in the Spirit on all occasions and for all people in the world. We thank you, Lord, for your unfailing love for us. You are our Savior and Lord. Amen.